Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative, and United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org. It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm David Giustina, back with us. This week is Republican New York State Assembly Minority Leader Will Barclay. Leader Barclay, so great to have you on the program. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
I want to start with a congratulations. I see you got an award from the New York Farm Bureau. You've got the Circle of Friends Award. Obviously, farms are very important to New York, and they have seen troubles. Many family farms have been lost, and it's very hard to be a small farmer in the state, so congratulations on your award. What can you tell us?
Well, thank you very much. I've been honored to get the Circle of Friends Award for every year I've been in the Assembly. I come from a rural district, a lot of agriculture in the area that I represent, and you're exactly right. Small family farms are struggling, and we've done nothing, unfortunately, in Albany to help these farms. Even the agriculture that's still surviving now has gone bigger and bigger, and it's kind of, crowded out the small farms. And it's tough. It's a struggle. And, we passed the Farm Labor Act a few years ago, and that put additional expense on it. We have a lot of regulations of how you can operate your farm that puts a lot of pressure on them. And I think a lot of them just said, enough's enough. We don't want to do this anymore. And, farming at one time was the largest business in New York State. I don't know if it still is. But even if it wasn't just for the economic impact of the farms, I think the culture and the history, it's kind of in some of our blood. I think it's tragic to lose that for that reason, too.
So what can we do, Minority Leader Will Barclay? What can we do for these small farms? Is there any legislation out there? What plans are there to help them?
Sure. Well, just take dairy farms. One very easy thing we could do is put whole milk back into schools. It got outlawed because they thought the fat contents of milk was unhealthy for kids. That's turned out not to be accurate at all. There's an easy one. Let's sell whole milk back in schools. But ultimately, it's a lot of stuff we could do on the state that we could do for business generally. We overregulate, we overtax all businesses in New York State. And for them, where the margins are so thin, it's very difficult for them to survive.
It seems like it. I don't know if this is true or not. You can maybe fill me in if you know. But that this terrible rollout that we're hearing about when it came to the cannabis industry also was a detriment to some of the farmers who had grown crops and then were, forced to leave them in warehouses because the industry was tied up in lawsuits and they didn't have markets for their product. They finally allowed them at farmers markets. But, farmers who can't maybe get as much for their traditional crops might have this as an option. It seems like it might not have been thought through enough in regard to the farmers.
You think that might be the most accurate statement, not thought through enough. With this whole cannabis rollout, putting aside the terrible tragedy, these people invested their life savings to try to take advantage of this new market, supposedly, and the state regulators have just dropped the ball left and right. Now we have, unfortunately, as you know, a huge black market that's grown up around this, and they don't seem to want to crack down on these illegal stores, too. But it seems like everything regarding this program has been one disaster after another, and I was pleased the governor looks like she's going to get an inspector general or someone in there to investigate what's going on. Hopefully that will lead to some leadership changes and get this point in the right direction. She should have done this a long time ago, but at least she's now recognizing, and I support in those efforts to try to get this program cleaned up.
Yeah, I don't know how you can have a functioning legal market when it's still cheaper to buy it on the black market.
And I think that was even policy. I think someone from the cannabis management agency even said that they want to do that because they're trying to encourage more cannabis use in New York State. So that's why they didn't want to crack down on the illegal stores. It seems sort of crazy to me, but anyways, the long and short of it, David, it definitely needs someone to go in there and clean this up, and ultimately we'll need new leadership, I'm sure.
We're speaking with Will Barkley, the New York State Assembly Minority Leader, a Republican. Your conference and generally in Republicans have been on the issue of public safety. The subways in New York now have National Guard troops in them. The governor, reacting to some high-profile incidents in the subway, has done that. There's been some criticism. Why didn't you just hire more cops? But at the same time, she certainly responded to the issue. And there's talk about, you know, even if it's just for psychological reasons to keep people feeling safe, it was something that needed to be done. So what do you make on the Republican side of the governor's move there?
Well, again, we're all for more safety in law enforcement, particularly where it's, you know, crime's been rampant on the subway. So we're not opposed to that. I'm not sure that's the solution. I think you're right. More, I would like, you know, if we didn't have this anti-police narrative, we might not be losing so many New York PD members, and people join the force more readily than they are now. You know, I would prefer, obviously, to have police in the subways versus the National Guard. But if that's one thing that's going to quell the surge of violent crimes that's happening there, I fully support that.
Yeah. Well, and an interesting opinion letter I saw today from a New York City resident, I believe it was in the New York Times, was talking about how there's another problem in the subways, and that's access for people with disabilities and children, that there aren't enough elevators, escalators, and other things for the elderly, people who are disabled, and for children. And she cites her child who had a broken limb trying to navigate the subway system just to get to the doctor. And the idea that, once again, there are not only the public safety issue, but this idea that our infrastructure is not up to par, that we need to really spend some money to get things like transportation infrastructure and road infrastructure up to par so that, you know, New Yorkers can work and live more efficiently in the state.
Well, I don't disagree with that, David. And, you know, I'm a fiscal conservative and don't believe, you know, I think we spend crazy in the state. But one thing I would agree with my colleagues across the aisle is investment in infrastructure, not only in New York City, but it needs to be on parity and throughout the state. And that's one of the reasons we've advocated all these years to make sure that we're getting appropriate funding, particularly in the Consolidated Highway Improvement Program in New York State. The governor always comes in. She'll do a cut. I think she left it flat this year, but the legislature, I'm in full agreement with, increase that budget. So that's one thing I think one of the mandates of government is to provide good infrastructure for its citizens. And you're right. And I don't think we've done a great job of that in New York.
Where is your Republican conference on the issue of affordable housing? Obviously, we know rents are high. Housing for single families is nearly impossible. I heard a Marketplace report this morning saying that a lot of new apartment buildings are coming up and online in the next year. It might alleviate some problems in certain parts of the country. But certainly we know in New York there's an affordable housing crunch. Where are you guys on all this?
So let me say this again. I can compliment Democrats, even though I'm a Republican. I do appreciate the governor raising the issue of housing in New York State, because I do think it is a problem. And I do think people are having trouble finding affordable housing. And again, this is not just a New York City issue. I'm from Central New York. I know rents in the Syracuse area have been skyrocketing. Where I differ probably from the governor is a solution on how to do that, although I'm pleased that she took the stick last year. She was trying to force municipalities into being able to help develop housing. Now she's using a CARE, which I think is a much better approach. But ultimately, we, again, in New York, for instance, are trying to put good cause eviction into the budget. Good cause eviction would allow landlords to evict anybody unless they had good cause to do so. And it just puts one more stress. And so why would anybody want to develop housing if you can't evict somebody, or you know, they want to force New York City or force to have rent control? It's just one regulation after another that I think really prevents developers from wanting to invest. You know, it's a big risk to develop some of these housing projects. And why would you want to do it if you ultimately don't have, you know, control of your own business like that? So I think I appreciate the government raising the issue. I look forward to continuing to work with her on this issue. But until we kind of get some of these big policy issues and not keep tilting the balance more towards this tenant away from the landlord, I think you'll continue to have problems with people wanting to develop private housing in New York.
Will Barkley, New York State Assembly Minority Leader. What is another big issue you're focused on? You know, this is the budget wrangling season. We're in the high season now, just a week before April 1st deadline rolls around. What are you focused on right now?
Well, the budget is. That's what we're focused on. We got one more week to try to get this done. Unfortunately, my colleagues have, we had a revenue agreement by all the conferences that we had $1.3 billion more in revenue that we could spend. So that was good news. Both majorities came in with their overall budgets at $246 billion. They had $246 billion. That's $14 billion over what the governor was proposing. And, you know, we just can't keep, these are great. Everybody likes, there's something that I love. But ultimately, we just cannot continue this trajectory of spend, spend, spend. If this budget's enacted, that'll mean that we've increased the budget over the last 5 years by $70 billion. And I think when I started, a long time ago now in the Assembly, the whole state budget was about $70 billion. So you can just see the massive amount of growth, the spending that's gone on the last few years. And unfortunately, it's got to be paid for, and it's going to be paid for by New York, you know, taxpayers. And already we hear people leaving the state because they can't afford to live here. By increasing spending by this much, that's just going to continue this unfortunate cycle.
Well, speaking of spending, let's talk about the schools for a second, because there's been this big fight over Hold Harmless, right? Now, this is the idea that some districts in the state, because it's funded through the property tax system, have more money, have more school money because there's more property tax base. Take Long Island, just for one example. So they end up with more money. Now, Hold Harmless says each year you get more money, you're not going to get less, kind of like a cost of living increase. But the governor wants to stop that, saying there are other poverty-stricken districts that deserve more money and we need to even the playing field. Where do you guys come down on that?
Well, we think we should fully fund the foundation aid. Again, I think most of our conference feels that way. I do think we also believe, so again, that we agreed with the governor to a certain extent that probably the foundation aid formula needs to be revised. I've always said that we have a unequitable school funding program where you're right, the wealthy districts are getting money and the poor districts probably aren't getting enough money because we spend, and usually what we do is just spend a whole mess of money and throw at the problem. But ultimately, if we reform the system, I think we could spend that school aid a lot more efficiently than we're doing now. And also, I've said this, I've told the teachers, I've told the school districts, we have to look at probably consolidating some of these school districts. As you know, enrollment's down across the state.
Yeah.
And it's hard to justify some of these smaller districts. And I always said if you could consolidate them, you can provide more program and better education for the students that go there. So, but those are tough local issues, I know. That gets very parochial, as you know.
It does. And, you know, it's the same thing. It's the same issue, right, Will, with trying to combine governments, counties, villages, municipalities. You always have these identity issues that people don't want to give it up. But I agree with you. I think that consolidation on both counts, on schools and municipalities, governments, could do a lot to, you know, have more wealth on the whole for schools and for communities.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this on the radio, but I mentioned I'm from the Alaska School District, and they were putting a middle school, and I said to my wife once at the dinner table that we should, you know, merge with Sandy Creek just for the high school, and that went over like a lead balloon at the dinner table. So, so if I can't get it through my family, I'm probably going to have trouble getting it done in New York, but
I could see where that intractable would be because you'd say, well, no, we play them in sports. We can't go and be part of them.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Well, let me ask you about something else, and feel free to take your shot if you want. Carl Hastie, the Speaker of the State Assembly, didn't seem to like the fact that he was asked by reporters about the fact that he's supposedly dating a lobbyist and that lobbyists would have issues before. He didn't like having to be asked about that, said it's his personal life. He shouldn't be asked about it, that there were protocols in place, but he wouldn't talk about them. I mean, do we have to be careful here in New York? If you're the Speaker of the State Assembly, don't you have to answer those questions? Isn't your personal life, especially if it involves a lobbyist with issues before the government, something people should know?
Well, perhaps. But, you know, I know the Speaker. I work very well with him. I found everything I've dealt with him, I've found to be above board and very, you know, when he tells me something, he stands behind it. It's usually truthful. So I have no reason to think, you know, there's some problem here. But maybe you're right on the larger part that, you know, if something like this, there's a potential conflict there, maybe it should be disclosed. But I have no reason to think. And again, I understand we all do have personal lives, and it's not fun to have your personal life bleed into your public life. So I'm sympathetic with him in that regard.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We can be pains in the butt, us journalists. But, you know, if you're elected,
keep us accountable.
If you're elected by the people, you know, some questions are going to be asked of you. And That's kind of just the way it goes. Now let's turn to...
Roughly so, by the way.
Yeah. Will Barkley, let's turn to child care. This is a big deal. I mean, the thing that happens in society, in our state, in most states and in the world, is that children suffer the most. They're the ones that end up poverty-stricken, starving, abused, and everything else. And I know that the Assembly Minority has proposed child care investment to increase access and improve affordability. Tell us a little bit about your plan and whether we're going to see any more of this in the budget.
I hope so. And there were some proposals in the One House Assembly that are very similar to what we propose. And mostly ours are tax credits to help families. New York has, I think, the sixth highest child care cost in the nation. I forget what the average is, but it's really expensive, $10,000, $12,000. I mean, it was $15,000 on average a year. And we're hearing from our constituents that they can't afford this, and it's really handcuffing, obviously, families with young children because they can't get out of the house to work, be productive members of society. They're stuck providing child care. And so this is the idea. We found our idea of providing tax credits, we think, is the most efficient way to provide some sort of relief in that manner. I think sometimes the majority likes to do straight subsidies to the agencies that provide the we'd like the tax credits so the people get the benefits directly to the family.
Well, obviously, the issue of migrants is continuing. We need to have something done on the federal level. I think most people agree with that. But the state obviously has to deal with it while migrants, you know, are in New York. And the governor has offered both welcoming talk and lately tough talk on especially migrants who, at least one I know of, that had been involved in a crime. And, you know, this is a really difficult issue when the federal government really has to move in order to make the rest of the nation act accordingly. You know, where are you guys on migrants? I know you have a plan. You guys have put out a, I don't know, 4-point, 5-point, 6-point plan. You know, what are you thinking?
Well, first of all, I don't think we ought to be spending $2.4 billion in the budget on the migrant crisis. I think if I was the governor, I've told her this, she should be down in Washington every day knocking on the White House's door, requesting funding to help deal with this crisis that you're right. It's of the Biden administration's doing. She's a Democrat. He's a Democrat. He ought to listen to her. But one thing we can do very easily, part of one of our plans, where we just introduced Laken law, which essentially would take away the sanctuary state that New York became when Governor Cuomo, I think in 2017, signed an executive order that didn't allow New York law enforcement to cooperate with ICE, the Immigration Customs Enforcement Agency of the federal government, and why we don't want our law enforcement to cooperate with another. Their whole purpose is protecting New Yorkers. It seems odd to me that we don't want them to cooperate with the federal law enforcement when it comes to migrants. It just seems strange to me that well, I understand why, but so any long and short of it, that's something we could do right away. The government could do that right away. In the very least, we wouldn't be housing you know, dangerous criminals who are migrants. Not everyone is on that, you know, in the city, but long and short of it, that seems to me a very easy first step that we could take to help combat this problem.
And you're right to suggest that it's not everybody. I mean, we did a piece here at WAMC on the migrants who are here in Albany setting up businesses, restaurants, working together to find connections for help with everything from groceries and food from their own countries to doctors and everything else and help with language. So there are so many people that are here that are trying to do the right thing. And I think we need to keep our eyes on that as well.
I very much appreciate that. And again, it goes back to show the failure of the federal government. And by the way, you could say it's bipartisan failure on this, but
sure.
I think most people would be supportive of legal immigration. I certainly am, but it needs to be legal immigration. And we can't keep putting policies in place that encourage people to come in illegally. There's no consequences for doing that. And that's just encouraging more and putting more burden on the system. We ought to be doing it legally, you know, who's in here. And I think most people would agree legal immigration is okay, but this illegal immigration has been obviously a big problem here in New York State.
Let's turn to this latest story, which is that women in New York can now buy birth control without a prescription. Governor Hochul signed a measure this week that will allow all pharmacies in New York to dispense birth control medications to anyone who wants them. your thoughts on that. Obviously, we had a major Supreme Court ruling that shot down Roe v. Wade that has created a kerfuffle, we'll say, amongst women and many men in this country. And it is a salient issue for many when they vote. What's your thought on this?
Well, I think the Democrats will certainly try to use this as a political issue. You know, I'm pro-life, but like most Americans, I take more of a middle ground approach to this, not an extreme. I think there are extremes on both sides of the issue. But the one thing I would say in New York State, I wouldn't be concerned that at any time soon, regardless, you know, what happens politically, that the right to abortion will continue to be legal in New York State. I don't see that changing. So the Democrats might try to argue that the Republicans are trying to take that right away, but ultimately it's not going to happen in New York State.
Certainly not in New York, but I agree with you on that, by the way. But the idea that, you know, you're going to have these states that are sort of sanctuaries for abortion, and we're already seeing women, you know, making the trek. So you've got that issue as well.
But don't you think it ought to be up to the voters? That's what I even though the Supreme Court ruling really caused a lot of grief and had a kind of political impact. Really, though, in my mind, an issue like abortion ought to be decided by the voters, and the voters are speaking. In some states, they are putting those rules in place. Other states, I'd be surprised, are putting, you know, amendments to ban abortion have gone down in flames. So I think that's what democracy is all about, and an issue like abortion really should be left, in my mind, to the voters. It seems like that issue. So other than the political impact of the Supreme Court decision, I thought from a legal perspective, it's pretty well reasoned.
We're speaking with Will Barkley. He's the New York State Assembly Minority Leader. How often do you communicate with Robert Ord in the Senate?
We talk quite a bit. Yeah, we have a good partnership. So I don't know if it's daily, but close to that when we're in session.
And do you strategize and plan what's going to go in each house so you have an idea what each other's doing?
Yeah, we do. And the reason being, it's hard to get your voice heard in Albany. It's hard when you're in the minority to get your voice heard in the Albany. So we've found if we can work together, that amplifies our voice, and we're able to, you know, push public policy in the direction that we want to, and we can do it more effectively working together versus, you know, going off on two separate tracks. And not everything. I mean, we agree on most things, not everything, and that's fine, too.
It is tough. Being in the minority, you need to focus on things like being on the media, like on this program, obviously, to get the message out. But on top of all that, this year, we're in a presidential election year. It's really tough to get a lot done and cooperation in an election year, isn't it?
Well, yeah, this year will be interesting. I mean, well, for us, it's not hard to work. It's a question of how well we can work with the Dems and what they do on this budget. And, you know, I think the high spending in this budget does show that it's election year and they're trying to make everybody happy on that. But ultimately, New Yorkers are going to come out the loser. You know, the one problem with this budget, by spending all this money, I mean, we had a lot of federal funding coming in over the last few years. That has dried up. And then we had a lucky year this year. We just had more revenue come in. But that's not going to last forever, David. And so we may get through this year, but with these high spending amounts, I mean, we're never going to be able to handle it in a year or two, and there are going to be cuts or there's going to be substantial tax increases, which wouldn't be good for anybody in New York.
Are you worried about cynicism? I mean, so many people are negative on politics, and I'll tell you, so many people just don't pay attention. You know, only 2% of the population even listens to, let's say, public broadcasting, you know, which discusses more serious issues like this. But we can't have a society if people don't trust its institutions. And, you know, between you and me, politics and the media, we're lower than a hound's belly.
I hate to tell you, outside of politics, I'm a lawyer, so I get crushed everywhere I go.
Wow, three strikes.
Yeah, three strikes, exactly. I am worried about the cynicism, and some of it's deserved. And I think, you know, unfortunately, we have done, like, take the cannabis rollout. I mean, it doesn't give you a lot of faith that government can do what it says it's going to do. But, you know, just personally, I never take anything personally in this business. I know my colleagues from across the aisle are there here for good reasons. They want to represent their constituency the best that they can. Just so happens what they think their constituency wants may differ than what I think my constituency wants. And so that's where the rub comes. But, you know, I encourage anyone at my conference, I encourage anyone on their side that we need to be respectful of other people's positions, even though we disagree with them, and doesn't mean that they're necessarily evil or, you know, people we can't deal with. So I just think that's a good rule of thumb, and keep it to the policy issues. Don't make anything personal.
Finally, Will Barkley, I got to ask you this. I saw that the governor of Vermont, Phil Scott, commented on the fact that the Republicans in Vermont sort of voted out the more moderate Republicans and have put in the more conservative ones because they want to endorse Donald Trump. And I got to tell you, Scott went on a soliloquy about why it's bad for the party. And he, in fact, endorsed Nikki Haley. So where are the New York Republicans going to do?
Well, I've endorsed Trump, so that's where I am. Rob Orr endorsed Trump. I think the majority of our conference is behind Trump, so that's where we are.
Yeah. What happens if he does get convicted of something? Will you reconsider the endorsement or not?
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, yeah, of course, anything could change. This is my feeling. I've said this before. I think Trump did some great things for this country when he was president. And, you know, the economy was strong then. We had a pretty strong foreign policy. It was safe. We weren't in any wars. So you could say there's a lot of good with Trump. Obviously, his personality can rub or does rub people wrong. And that's unfortunate, but sometimes, you know, governing is governing. And I happen to believe in the policies that Trump believes in, so I think he's a superior candidate over Joe Biden.
Well, I guess we're going to leave it there. I'm going to have different opinions on that, but why get into it? He is Will Barkley. He is the Assembly Minority Leader, Republican, and he's great to come on this program and talk with us. Will, I can't thank you enough. I know if I ask, you'll come back again, so thank you for that.
I will. Thanks as always, David. I enjoy coming on the show.
The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. You can listen to The Capital Connection anytime at wamcpodcast.org or anywhere you get your podcast. And join us again next week at this same time for another political conversation. For The Capital Connection, I'm David Giustina. Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative.